WDRY Allentown. It's now 6 o'clock. Stay tuned for more of your financial choices with Lori Siebert.
Your financial choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. And podcasts of prior shows are also available through that website under local programming. Just look for Your Financial Choices, and you will see the list of prior shows that we've done. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, June 20th, 2018. The markets were, I think they were mixed today. The Dow closed at 24,657, the NASDAQ at 77,81, and the S&P at 27,67. Our topic tonight is college savings plans. What's new and what do you need to know? We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I'll do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Email is also available through yourfinancialchoices.com. So we're going to talk about what a 529 plan is. And to set the ground for that, the IRS has a great Q&A on their website, which I'm going to run through, and then I'm going to break down some of the details that are discussed there. But I thought they've kind of outlined this so well, and I think it's a great primer for our discussion tonight to kind of set the table and set the stage. And yes, sometimes people go and, you know, could, I suspect, look this up themselves. But we don't. We don't often take that extra step to do this. So what I want to do is highlight these areas, but then again, kind of break down some of what they're talking about and what it might mean. So I want to talk a little bit about what's new, computer technology, different types of 529 plans, changing the beneficiary. I'm going to go through some things that are in another publication that the IRS puts out for qualified tuition programs, and that's publication 970, talking about some of the eligible institutions, qualified higher education expenses, something called recontribution of refunded amounts, and then coordinating with the American Opportunity and Lifetime Learning Credits, and also rollovers. And there's some really interesting aspects on coordinating the distributions of 529 plans with the American Opportunity Credit. The reason it's important to coordinate is because you cannot double dip on the benefits of some of these education benefits, but there are some little strategies you can use to make sure that you're maximizing, to the extent that you can, the benefits that might be available. So let's start with some of these 529 plan Q&As. So what is a 529 plan? A plan operated by a state or educational institution with tax advantages and potentially other incentives to make it easier to save for college and other post-secondary training, or, this is the new part, or for tuition in connection with enrollment or attendance at an elementary or secondary public, private, religious school for a designated beneficiary, such as a child or grandchild. So again, after I go through these Q&As, we're going to talk in more detail about what this means and hopefully maybe some strategies or planning strategies you can use in light of this new attribute of the 529s. So again, a plan operated by a state or educational institution, basically to cover what we're going to call qualified education expenses, which we'll delve into a little bit deeper as we go through here. What's the main advantage of a typical 529 plan? Earnings are not subject to federal tax and generally not subject to state tax when used for qualified education expenses of the designated beneficiary. Qualified education expenses such as tuition, fees, books, as well as room and board at an eligible education institution, and tuition at elementary or secondary schools. Again, that's the new piece. Contributions to a 529 plan, however, are not deductible. And let me add a caveat, not deductible for federal purposes. They may be deductible for state purposes. And for folks who live in Pennsylvania, to the extent you have a contribution to a 529 within the annual gift exclusion of $15,000 a year in 2018, and to the extent you or your spouse have income of that much, you can get a deduction on your Pennsylvania tax return for those contributions to a 529 plan. So a 529 plan, a couple different kinds. We're going to go over that. But a 529 plan is basically an account, an avenue for saving for college cost. Question, can I make withdrawals from my 529 plan for tuition at elementary or secondary schools? Yes, as of 2018. This is again the new part. As of 2018, the term qualified higher education expense includes up to $10,000 in annual expenses for tuition in connection with enrollment or attendance at an elementary or secondary public, private, or religious school. So here's where we read Q&As, and you have to be very particular with the words you're reading because words matter. And we will go over the nuances of those words as we go through the rest of the show. Question, can I make withdrawals from my 529 plan for the cost of computer technology or equipment? Answer, a qualified non-taxable distribution from a 529 plan includes the cost of the purchase of any computer technology, related equipment, and/or related services such as internet access. The technology, equipment, or services qualify if they are used by the beneficiary of the plan and the beneficiary's family during any of the years the beneficiary is enrolled at an eligible educational institution. So we'll come back to that. Again, 529 plan, way to save for college. What is the tax benefit? If you put money into a 529 account and it grows and it has earnings and you use that account for qualified education expenses, you do not have to pay income tax on those earnings for the amounts that you've distributed for those qualified education expenses. One of the qualified education expenses was that computer technology or equipment that I just mentioned. But what does computer technology or equipment mean? I would say to myself, didn't I just read what computer technology or equipment meant? Well, here again, you just have to keep delving deeper and deeper. Computer technology or equipment means any computer and related peripheral equipment. Related peripheral equipment is defined as any auxiliary machine, whether online or offline, which is designed to be placed under the control of the central processing unit of a computer, such as a printer. So a lot of times we might be thinking that a valid qualified education expense out of the 529 is for a computer, but it could also be a printer. And if you were listening carefully, you would also have heard that I mentioned internet access. So that is computer technology or equipment. Is this cost of the purchase of any computer technology or equipment or internet access and related services available for any other education benefit under the tax law? No, it is only for 529 plan withdrawals. Such costs are generally not qualifying expenses for the American Opportunity Credit, Hope Credit, Lifetime Learning Credit, or the tuition and fees deduction. Folks, this is where it's very important that if you have a college student, and now a secondary or elementary ed student, that you understand the ins and outs of 529s and all of the nuances, but not just of 529s, but how they relate to other educational benefits, such as the American Opportunity Credit, which is an awesome, awesome benefit for those folks who qualify for it. There's something called the coordination of benefits, but people get confused sometimes when they hear qualified education expenses because there's different definitions for different education benefits. So we're going to talk a little bit more about 529s and what this all means to you and what you need to be aware of as we continue our conversation. If you have questions, we're live. You can call in live. We can talk with each other. If you're not comfortable talking live on air, you could just give your question to Lori and she'll write it down and bring it into the studio. So we will continue our conversation after our first break. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
Attention beer lovers, WDIY's Homebrew Fest is back. WDIY is proud to present our third annual Homebrew Fest, an afternoon of beer tasting and music featuring over 40 handcrafted beers from the Lehigh Valley's best homebrewers. Saturday, June 23rd from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Ice House in Bethlehem. Get your tickets today at WDIY.org. Cheers.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we are talking about college savings plans, what's new and what do you need to know? I'm referring to, the phone number, folks, 610-758-8810. And you can talk live on air, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, just give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and bring it in. You know, in looking at this Q&A from the IRS, I probably would have set up the flow of the Q&A a little bit differently than as I'm reading it verbatim off of this little sheet, this newsroom sheet, but nonetheless, it's important information and hopefully you will be learning something as we go through this. How long have 529 plans been around? Congress created them in 1996 and they are named after the Internal Revenue Code section that governs them, and they typically go by the name Qualified Tuition Program. So sometimes you'll see QTP, but I can tell you almost everyone that I know just calls them 529 plans. Can anyone set up a 529 plan? Yes, you can set one up and name anyone as a beneficiary. You could name yourself as a beneficiary, a relative, a friend. They don't even have to know. But there might be some hiccups with that if you don't tell them, because there are some caps on how much a 529 can be funded for one particular beneficiary's college cost. And it varies depending on state, and it can't exceed the expected amount of, I think, cost for like private institution over 4 years. So you want to be a little careful of that. But there are no income restrictions on either you as the contributor or the beneficiary. And there is also no limit to the number of plans you set up. All right. We did have a call come in off air. Taylor from Bethlehem, a freelance musician with up and down income, wants to grow money within the next 5 years to buy a house. What do you recommend? Well, Taylor, I think the most important thing you need to do first is make sure that you have an emergency reserve, especially when the money goes up and down, because there will be times where you might not have as much flowing in, and there might be a temptation that if you don't have the inflows you need for a particular period of time, there might be a temptation to put expenses on a credit card, and you don't want to build up debt especially if you want to buy a home in the next 5 years, you want to really make sure that your credit is all in good order. So make sure you have a 6-month reserve so that you're not having to incur debt. Then once you get a 6-month reserve set up, the other thing that I sometimes, you know, suggest to people is live as if you're buying that home. So if you say you want to buy a particular, do a little homework, find out what kind of home you think you could afford, including not only the mortgage payment, but also the real estate taxes, the homeowner's insurance, and the utilities, and some maintenance and upkeep for the home. So let's pretend right now you rent at, you know, $800 a month, and you're kind of looking at maybe buying a, you know, a house that's going to be $120,000, and your mortgage payment would be, I'm making this up, $1,200 a month, and then real estate taxes, utilities, we're going to make that $1,800 a month. Well, that's $1,000 more a month than you might have incurred having rented. So if you can, after you get your emergency reserve, start setting aside money as if you are a homeowner now, and then you build that up. So if your question about is where are you going to put that money to make it grow, you don't want to go too aggressive with your funds that you've set aside because you have a short window. So you have to maybe talk with a professional to say, I want to build up this money. You could almost do some dollar cost averaging, meaning set aside some money every month for this, and find a comfortable risk tolerance for where you would be knowing that you're going to need that money in 5 years. So number one, emergency reserve. Number two, find a way to make sure that you have the cash flow available to not only buy the house, but to start saving for that house now, such that when you do eventually get in the home, you're already used to living on that budget. And then you could probably dollar cost average into some type of conservative investment that's going to let your money grow and work for you while you're saving, but not put it at too much risk for that time frame of 5 years. Okay? But it's, again, very, very important to have that emergency reserve, because then you wouldn't have the temptation or the need to pull out any money that you might have had invested during that period of time as well. All right. But I can't give specific investment recommendations on the air, but you want to just make sure it's going to be comfortable for your time frame and your risk tolerance. Okay. So I hope that helped, Taylor, and best wishes and good luck. That's great. Sharma from Brinigsville called and says, middle and high school kids belong to school clubs. Do these club trips qualify to use $529? Example, science club trips. No, Sharma, they do not. In fact, that is one of the things I was going to refer back to later as we go through the show about words matter. If you heard me mention that with under the recent tax reform, they opened up qualified education expenses for 529 plans to include elementary and secondary education tuition. That is the key word. It is tuition. And I think that that's the piece that people might not, you know, hone in on when they're thinking, oh, now I can use 529 plans for qualified education expenses, which is a little bit more broadly interpreted for college, for post-secondary education. It does not have that broad definition when we're talking about the secondary or elementary, public, private, or religious school tuition is the words they use. So for public, I'm not sure what kind of tuition we'd have for a public school. I suppose a charter school might have some kind of tuition. I'm not really sure what kind of tuition we would have there. So no, middle and high school kids belonging to school clubs, that does not count. Now, Sharma, what I would say is if your kids are in private school, you could use it for the tuition, and then, you know, your other, you know, cash flow needs can go toward these science club trips. So not as of yet, but let me say when I was reading this, because this is still so new, the amendment to this 529 plan use is so new, and they were so specific about saying that it was for tuition. As I was even getting ready for the show, my thought went to, you know what, we're probably going to see this expand eventually as far as what you can use it for some of these private schools. Because I know, for example, there's private schools in our area where the tuition is $20,000 a year and we can only take $10,000 out. But then there's private schools in our area where the tuition is only $4,000. And if we could ordinarily take out 10 and we can only use $4,000 for tuition, might that be, you know, an area where they might expand the use of these funds, give us a little bit more flexibility? Not sure if that's going to happen. Not yet. The way I'm reading it, it is strictly tuition. Love the calls. Thanks, Sharma. And thanks, Taylor, for calling in. I appreciate it. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we're talking about 529 plans or college savings plans or qualified tuition programs. So many names. So many names that help keep us all confused. Sometimes I think it's on purpose, but for the most part, I call them 529 plans. So what I have been referring to at the start of the show here is a Q&A that the IRS has on their website. So if you're interested in looking at it, you can just go on irs.gov and they have a search box and you can type in 529 plans, questions and answers, and up will pop this little list. But again, this is just kind of a Q&A. There's so much more behind the scenes of all of these questions that are worth exploring. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. And you can talk live on air with me or off air, whatever you're more comfortable doing. And I apologize if I talk fast sometimes, because sometimes I feel like I got to get all this information in. I like sharing all this information with you. So let's continue our discussion about 529s. Are there contribution limits? Yes. And I referred to this earlier, and it's sometimes even hard to know kind of what the contribution limits are because it's a moving target. But contributions cannot exceed the amount necessary to provide for the qualified education expenses of the beneficiary. If you contribute to a 529 plan, however, be aware that there may be gift tax consequences if your contributions, plus any other gifts to a particular beneficiary, exceed $15,000 during the year. For information on a special rule that applies to contributions to 529 plans, see the instructions for the 709 United States gift tax return. Folks, the gift tax return, first of all, people worry about the gift tax. There is something called the annual exclusion where you can gift a particular amount to any individual and not have to report it. So I could give you $15,000 and I don't report it and you don't have to report it. If I gift more than $15,000 to any individual, it's different between spouses, but if I give $15,000 to any individual, more than $15,000, I would have to file a gift tax return. There's a special rule for spouses where both spouses can each do $15,000. It's called gift splitting. So we could each do $15,000 out of our joint account to our one daughter, you know, $30,000 we could transfer, and we don't have to do anything. If we give more than that, then we have to file a gift tax return. But we have a lifetime exclusion that is equivalent to $11.2 million now, which means as long as I haven't gifted more than $11.2 million over those annual exclusions, I'm not going to have to pay a gift tax. So we file the gift tax return simply to let the IRS know that we've started digging into that lifetime exclusion. So for most of us, the gift tax would not apply if we stay under that $11.2 million. So the special rule they talk about is there are times where someone could front load a 529. So if I could do $15,000 a year, and not have to file a gift tax return, but I want to do it all at once. There was a special rule that we could do 5 years worth all at once. So I could do $75,000 today, file the gift tax return. I still have to file the gift tax return and just let the IRS know that I've decided to do 5 years worth into a 529 today. Let them know, make the election, and then I don't have to file that gift tax return as long as I stay under the annual amounts each year. But if I die earlier and I have more than $11.2 million estate, then some of it might come back in. All right. So that's what that refers to. It's more complicated than we even need to discuss. And I should probably not have even gone there. Are there different types of 529 plans? And here's something that I think really needs to kind of be differentiated. And I get this question from time to time, and I think that this was an easier way to explain it. There are two basic types of 529 plans. One is called the prepaid tuition plan. The other is the savings plan. And each state has its own plan, and each is somewhat unique. States are permitted to offer both types. A qualified education institution can only offer a prepaid tuition type plan. So I have personally not heard of any educational institutions offering 529 plans. They might be out there. I'm not aware of any. So that would be like a university that has to be a qualified education institution that would offer a prepaid tuition type plan. What they mean by a prepaid tuition plan is you, in essence, are buying credits for future tuition. So you buy these credits, you get X amount of dollars, it's guaranteed. The other kind of 529, and that could be sponsored by the state. The other kind of 529 plans is a savings plan, and I think most states have these as well, where they have a partnership with an investment firm. It could be like a Vanguard or a College Bound American Funds. It could be some diverse group of investments. That is a savings plan where you actually put money, invest money into this college savings account. And as it grows and you eventually use it for your child's qualified education expenses, those earnings come out income tax free, but you're getting the benefit of that growth income tax free. So it's could give you even more than that guaranteed tuition prepaid plan might get you. But the downside is you might also lose money in the savings plan, 529 plans. So you have to decide if you're willing to take that risk. I have not looked at the statistics of this, but generally what I'm seeing is clients are going with the savings plans, the investments they can get back out. Even with tax and penalty, I think they like the idea of knowing they can get that money back out if they need to. And on the prepaid tuition plan, I think you'd have to really jump through some hoops to be able to get any of that back. All right, so two kinds of plans, prepaid tuition plans. Basically, what I'm generally talking about are the savings plans. Am I restricted to my own state's 529 plan? No, your state's 529 plan may offer incentives to win your business, but the market's competitive and you may find another plan you like more. Be sure to compare the various features of different plans. There's a great website called savingforcollege.com that helps compare the plans and gives you kind of a thumbnail sketch of each of them. So that is a good way to start looking to where you might want to start saving for college savings in any of these 529 plans. They give you a lot of information. So that's savingforcollege.com. And the wonderful thing about Pennsylvania is that we get a deduction on our income tax return for contributions we're making to a 529 plan. It could be for anyone. As long as I have the Social Security number and the name of the person that I'm putting the money in the fund, I could own the fund. My sister could own the fund. And I could, as long as I'm putting money and can prove that I put money into a 529 account for that particular beneficiary, no matter where the plan is across the country, I can get a deduction on my Pennsylvania tax return. It really was a big step in promoting education and saving for education. It's a huge benefit. And it doesn't matter where my plan is. It could be a Virginia plan. I can use it for any university qualified education expenses anywhere in the country. So it's really nice. I'm going to, when I come back from this next break, finish going through some of these Q&As fairly quickly so I can kind of dive into some of the nuances that I want to share with you. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
This is WDIY. The time is now 6:30. Your current temperature is 79. On Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 84. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 61. Friday, mostly cloudy with a high near 77. And starting your weekend, Friday night, a chance of showers, cloudy with a low around 62. Saturday, showers and thunderstorms likely with a high near 79. And for your Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 84. Now, more of your financial choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shandi. Welcome back, folks. The phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk off air or you can talk on air or give your question to Lori C and she'll write it down. If you don't want to talk on air, I can take the question off air. And again, that's 610-758-8810. So 529 plans, who controls the 529 plans? Whoever set it up, the custodian. So if you set it up, you can control the investments in it. If it's a brother, sister, grandparent, they would control the investments and control the funds until they're withdrawn. Each 529 plan account has one designated beneficiary. What does that mean? You name one designated beneficiary. It's not that you can name, oh, for the three kids. It's literally one beneficiary per. That's how they control the, the reasonable educational cost cap. That's why they have it for one beneficiary. You can change the beneficiaries if you need. If all of a sudden that oldest child is brilliant and they got a huge scholarship and they don't need the money, and the second child, happy-go-lucky kid, but not quite as smart, might need more funding, not getting scholarships, you can change the name of the beneficiary to a particular relative. And I'm not going to go into that, but there is a lot of relatives, even a cousin, that you could change the beneficiary to without running into any tax consequences. So if you were going to change beneficiaries, that might be something you want to pay attention to. I had a client who was expecting twins, and they wanted to get the 529s funded. And we didn't, of course, have names of the twins or Social Security numbers for the twins, but they had wanted to start saving and take advantage of the deduction they get in Pennsylvania. They opened up 529s for themselves, the husband and the wife, and funded the 529s. The twins get, the twins come along, and then they changed the beneficiaries to the twins. So that worked out pretty well. And they had a head start on the college savings for those children. The reason you want to start saving as soon as you can is because you have the power of compounding. The longer that money stays invested, the more it's working for you. And then hopefully, if it's, over time, it has grown and gives you a little bit more spending power when it comes time to pay for the education. What is an eligible education institution? you know, college, university, vocational school, post-secondary educational institution, any that are eligible to participate in a student aid program administered by the U.S. Department of Education. And then, of course, as we mentioned, beginning in 2018, qualified higher education expenses also include expenses for tuition in connection with enrollment or attendance at an elementary or secondary, public, private, or religious school. A question, I've not set up a 529 for my child. Can I start one now and take advantage of this new computer benefit? You can start one at any time, but just recall, as I just mentioned, the whole point of the 529 and benefit of 529 is the growth over time, the growth in earnings over time. Now, you might say, hey, my kid's in their fourth year of college. I didn't realize there was this benefit about the, using some of the money for computers, and my kid needs a computer, and I hadn't thought of this. Well, in Pennsylvania, we do get that deduction on our Pennsylvania return, so you technically could fund a 529 plan, put the money in the 529 plan, get the deduction on your Pennsylvania return, and then take the distribution out for that, any qualified education expenses, which in this, my example, would be a computer. So lots of information about 529s available on the IRS's website through this Q&A and also through publication 970. So I already mentioned about the eligible post-secondary schools and the eligible elementary or secondary school. I just want to emphasize when we're talking about qualified higher education expenses that it is very different definitions depending on what you're doing. So if you are a parent or a grandparent or a student who has 529s available to you, but also has other educational benefits, such as refundable tax credits through the American Opportunity Credit, you have to be very, very careful about how you're coordinating the benefits of these education opportunities. I stress with clients who have 529 accounts who are also eligible for the American Opportunity Credit, which is, I'm trying to think if they expanded the dollar amounts, but in 2017, the American Opportunity Credit, if, for example, you were married filing joint, you had a child where you might have had $4,000 out-of-pocket expenses toward tuition, $4,000, and your income was under $160,000, page one adjusted gross income, you would be entitled to a $2,500 tax credit. That's $2,500 in your pocket for paying $4,000 out of pocket for tuition. So you have to be careful. If you take all the money out of the 529 to pay for the tuition and the room and board and all of the expenses, and you use the 529 for all of those expenses, then you will not have had out-of-pocket expenses. You, when we talk about coordinating the benefit, you used all of that 529 tax-free benefit on that distribution toward all those education expenses. So in lieu of doing that, pause, say, what free tax benefits am I getting? The American Opportunity Credit, awesome benefit. They've expanded it to 5 years now. So here's the other thing I'm telling folks, especially those people who pay the fall semester in August and then they pay the spring semester in December, you may lose out on that fifth year of eligibility for the American Opportunity Credit. So if your child is a senior, wait to pay their spring tuition in January, and you could sneak in and get that fifth year of the American Opportunity Credit. So you want to be careful of all of these education pieces. And again, the caution about the difference between the qualified education expenses for post-secondary school versus what's a qualified education for the elementary and secondary. So elementary and high school, that's just tuition. For college, the qualified higher education expenses include tuition and fees, books, supplies, and equipment, expenses for special needs services, Expenses for room and board must be incurred by students who are enrolled at least half time. And a lot of people don't realize that the room and board can actually be like an apartment. So if your child is living in an apartment and not on campus, and you have 529 funds available, and you've already kind of paid $4,000 of tuition to get that American Opportunity credit, and you say, well, gosh, now I'm not going to be using, you know, all the 529 because I'm paid $4,000 out of pocket. Well, you can use it toward room and board. And the deal with the room and board, if the kids are in an apartment, is it cannot exceed the cost of the room and board that the students would incur at the institution. So you look for the published rates for room and board on the university or college's website for at least a half-time student. That's room and board. If your child's in an apartment, you can take out that much out of the 529 and say, these are my room and board expenses. So that's generally what I'm talking to clients about. We want the room and board out of the 529. The tuition, $4,000 out of pocket if we're going to qualify for the American Opportunity Credit. If we're not going to qualify for the American Opportunity Credit, then, you know, because your income's too high, well, then, yeah, use the 529 money. All right. Now, there was something I wanted to mention about, they called it recontribution of refunded amounts. And this is something I was not aware of. So you read the publication and you find out about this. If a student, and not that I've had it happen to anybody, but it wasn't at the top of my head. I don't know if I would have thought of it. If a student receives a refund of qualified education expenses that were treated as paid by a qualified tuition program distribution, the student can recontribute the amounts back into the 529 plan for which they are the beneficiary within 60 days after the date of the refund. So, for example, let's pretend we had tuition and room and board of $10,000. We took the money out of the 529, $10,000, and all of a sudden the college calls you up and says, hey, you know what, you qualified for, you know, a $1,000 scholarship, or we billed you too much, $1,000, we're going to send you a check for $1,000. Oops, now I took the $10,000 out of the 529 account. Now my qualified education expenses are only $9,000. So now I have $1,000 of distribution exposed to potential tax. Well, they give us 60 days to put it back in the plan. So I think that's important to know. Another item I'll quickly mention before I start kind of highlighting some of these other things I wanted to get into, was if you take money out of a 529 more than you're supposed to, it doesn't mean the whole amount is taxable. Because recall, you're investing in the 529 after tax dollars. If I put $10,000 into a 529 account when my child is young, and it grows to, you know, $15,000, and then I take $1,000 out because, whoops, I had an emergency. There was no other place to get the money. I took $1,000 out. It's not for qualified education expenses, so it's a disqualifying distribution from my 529. I'm not going to pay a tax on a $1,000 distribution. It's going to be pro rata. So if the income, if the $10,000 I invested years ago grew to $15,000 and I only took $1,000 out, it's the income earnings was 5 over 15 times $1,000. So it's only pro rata that would be income taxable. And then it's also subject to a 10% penalty. So sometimes this is what makes people nervous about overfunding the 529s, because if they find out their child didn't need all the money, or if they themselves might feel they need some of the money, they don't want to totally fund the 529, they get nervous about the repercussions of having to take some of that money back out of the 529. But there are exceptions to the 10% penalty. So there's income tax on the earnings, which you would have had anyway. So I tell people, don't worry about the income tax on the earnings. But there is a 10% penalty on that pro rata amount of investment income that you would take on a disqualifying distribution. But there are exceptions to the 10% penalty. And some of the exceptions might be disability, death, if there was a scholarship. So don't always assume that you would have to pay the tax, and you might have the tax anyway, but you might be able to get out of the 10% penalty. All right. So I could probably go over some of those if folks are interested, but keep in mind lots of little nuances to these 529s. The most important takeaway from tonight is making sure that you coordinate any education benefits that you otherwise might qualify for. And then when I come back from the break, I want to share a little idea if you get caught in pulling all the money out of a 529 and you would have qualified for the American Opportunity Credit. I'll share a little concept with you. Folks, if you have questions, there's still time. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we're talking about 529s tonight. So real quick, I just wanted to go over something with our listeners. For example, I had a young family really scraping to pay the college cost, child taking out lots of loans. Even though they're taking out loans, that still counts as paying toward college. Another example, someone had a full scholarships, financial aid. They actually didn't have any money out of pocket for the tuition because the tuition was covered. Well, if they didn't have any expense for the tuition, if you were listening carefully, I said they might have qualified for an American Opportunity Credit, which was a tax savings of could be up to $2,500 if you had out-of-pocket cost of $4,000 out of the out-of-pocket $4,000. So they had used some kind of combination of 529 money for room and board, and then they had financial aid. One of the financial aid pieces that they had received was something called the Pell Grant. And the Pell Grant has to be used for tuition. Well, one of the little nuances of coordinating these education benefits was if the student had assistance that was could be used for tuition or something else, and they elected to include that in their income, then we could use that as money paid toward tuition and get the American Opportunity Credit. So what we had was $4,000 Pell Grant. It wasn't quite $4,000 what we used, but I'm going to use, say it's $4,000. $4,000 Pell Grant. We included it as income, like a taxable scholarship toward the student. It was under the income limits, the standard deduction, so there was no income tax on that $4,000. We included it in his income. He didn't have any other income. We said it's taxable. By saying it was taxable, then it wasn't, you know, tax-exempt money. It counted as tuition, and the mother, who claims the child as a dependent, could then use that toward the American Opportunity Credit. And we found $2,500 that way. So there's all kinds of little nuances you have to be aware of and understand. Shondi, I have a caller on line one. I have Sally in Nazareth. Hi, Sally. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi. How can I help you?
Yes. I have two teenage boys who mm-hmm. we started 529s on when they were babies.
Mm-hmm.
Both very smart young men. We assumed that they would go to college. Mm-hmm. One of them has since graduated from high school and decided to get a job and then possibly go into the military. Mm-hmm. The other one is still in high school and thinks that he wants to travel a bit and possibly work and live in Europe and not pursue college. So we're wondering, what are we to do with the 529?
Okay, well, there's a couple different options. First of all, I think that military is one of the exceptions to the 10% penalty. So you've invested in these 529s over time. And from my perspective, if you had taken that money and invested it for yourselves, you would have paid income tax on the growth and earnings. So that's why I always say, don't worry about paying tax on the growth and earnings, because if you hadn't done the 529s, you would have been paid tax. So now you have the 529. If you don't use it for education, you'd pay tax on the growth and earnings. So it's whether or not we could get out of that 10% penalty. So the one thing is, you could take the money out. The exceptions to the 10% penalty is the next thing that you would look at. It could be the exceptions are paid to a beneficiary after death. We don't want that. Disabled. And tax-free scholarships, if someone got a tax-free scholarship, you can take out that amount and not have a 10% penalty. Veterans educational assistance, employer-provided educational assistance, some other tax-free things. Made on account of the attendance of the designated beneficiary at a U.S. military academy. And then there's some exceptions around that. And a couple other things. So the military actually might be one of those exceptions. You'd want to read the fine print of that. So there could be some exceptions to the 10% penalty. You could just let them continue these 529 plans because you can hold them for a long time. You could name subsequent beneficiaries. Your kids' kids could be the beneficiaries of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you could hold on to it. And I'm speaking from experience where I had a brother who went back to college much later, like years and years later. So it still could be a potential, carrot for them to go to college and have that money there for them. And you and your spouse could even use it if you wanted to go back to school for something. So you can change the beneficiary on it. Perhaps one doesn't use it, and then the other one goes and lives in Europe for a while, comes back 5 years later, decides to go to college. You can change the beneficiary to him at that point then, too.
Okay.
Bottom line, you could take it out, and then you would have the income tax and perhaps a 10% penalty. So then you might want to wait to see what is this going to grow to and what year will it be optimal to take it out if you do have to take it out, because then you might want to take it out in a year when you've retired and you don't have as much income tax, even though you might have that 10% penalty. It might not be as big of a hit, but you can let those ride for a long time.
Okay.
Thanks, Sally. Thanks for calling. Great question.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. So these 529s can be quite powerful, folks, and they can grow to even with not putting in a lot of money, they can grow over time to be, quite a bit. I was going to mention, if I had time here, about the ABLE account. That is the ABLE account, which is a tax benefit for people with disabilities. There were some changes with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017. So let me tell you a little bit about the ABLE account. The Achieving a Better Life Experience, that's where they came up with the word ABLE. Achieving a Better Life Experience Act of 2014 allows states to create tax advantage savings programs for eligible people with disabilities, which would be the designated beneficiary. And not all the states at that time had created them, so you had to make sure your state had one. I believe Pennsylvania does have it now. Funds from these 529A accounts, so these are also 529s, but they have an A next to them. So 529A ABLE account can help designated beneficiaries pay for qualified disability expenses. Distributions are tax-free if used for qualified disability expenses. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 increases the amount of contributions allowed to an ABLE account and adds special rules for the increased contribution limit. It allows an ABLE account's designated beneficiary to claim the saver's credit for contributions to the account. The saver's credit, folks, has been used for people who are lower income but contributing to retirement accounts. It could sometimes wipe out the income tax that people owe. It depends on how much the income is and what filing status for to promote people to contribute to retirement accounts, low income folks. So this ABLE account is now going to be eligible for the saver's credit for contributions to the account by the designated beneficiary when they make a contribution to the ABLE account. It also allows rollovers and limited amounts from a 529 plan. So if you have a 529 plan that you don't need anymore, your child doesn't need it, maybe you have a relative who is disabled within certain restrictions. There's always restrictions and nuances and footnotes and caveats, but you'd want to see if your person who is disabled is a qualifying individual. You might be able to roll over a limited amount of the 529 that you might have for another designated beneficiary into an ABLE account of the designated beneficiary or his or her family member. In addition to the annual limit of $15,000, a designated beneficiary who works may also contribute his or her compensation up to the poverty line amount for a one-person household. So, except they cannot do it if the employer is also making a contribution. So, in a nutshell, if you have someone who would be eligible by their disability to have an ABLE account and they work and they don't have any employer match or employer contribution into a retirement account, they can put money into this 529A ABLE account and do that annual limit plus some of their compensation up to that poverty line amount. All right, so that is a little complicated. We still have a few minutes left. Let me just tell you those resources first. Again, always lots of information on the IRS's website, irs.gov, and you can go there and search the box for 529s, for college savings accounts, for the Qualified Tuition Program Publication 970. There's also a separate publication for the ABLE account. Lots of information there, good information. Just make sure you understand all the little nuances and how all this stuff works together. I also want to mention, as I did last week, we had representatives from SCORE Lehigh Valley on a couple weeks ago who are offering great webinars and information sessions to folks who are interested in starting a business, transitioning a business, doing all that kind of stuff. So they have a couple seminars coming up Tuesday, June 26th from 5:30 to 7. Who is your competition? Who are your clients? So if you have a great idea to start a business and you don't know where to get started, you might want to start with understanding your local or national competition. So they're going to talk about that. And you can go on lehighvalley.score.org for information on these events. They also have a fraud seminar coming up on Friday, June 29th. That's in the morning at BB&T Regional Headquarters. And they also have something that they're presenting on tax and legal issues for your small business on Tuesday, July 10th in the evening as well at First Commonwealth. So you can find more information on their website, lehighvalley.score.org. For more information there. And you can also listen to the podcast that we did from a couple weeks ago through the website wdiy.org. Go on the tab that is for local programming. You will see your financial choices and you can scroll through all the programs that we do here trying to bring information that might be important to you. I know from time to time we will have a subject that you might think oh, that doesn't really apply to me. I might not listen tonight. But recall that it seems like there's always someone that may be benefiting from this information. It might be your grandchildren, your children, your parents, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, your nieces, your nephews. So it's a great resource that we have here at WDIY to bring programming such as this, Your Financial Choices, because it's educational and trying to get out information to folks who might not have access to this otherwise, and kind of give you hopefully a different way of looking at some of this information that we have available to us that might be open to interpretation to do it the right way. Next week, in light of this, we are going to have a show on a retrospect of your financial choices topics. So that's where I'll go back and look at some of the topics that we've talked about over the years. And I've been doing this, I think, we're in 2018. I started doing these shows in 2007 and joined WDIY in 2009. So we're, I think, almost 9 years here at WDIY and have covered lots and lots of topics. If you ever have any ideas, you're welcome to share them with us. You can do that through the website, Your Financial Choices. I'm always open to hearing what you want to hear about. Thank you for the callers who called in tonight. I really appreciate it. Lori, thanks for being here and taking those calls. And Shandi, thanks for being here and running the board. Folks, have a great week. I want to remind you that Tom Druckenmiller is coming up next with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.
Thank you, Lori. And if you missed the show today, you can go to WDIY.org and click on Your Financial Choices. It's WDIY Allentown. It's 7 o'clock. Your current temperature is 79. On Thursday, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high near 84. Thursday, partly cloudy with a low around 61. Friday, cloudy with a high near 77. And on Friday, it's going to be a little bit of showers and low around 62. Saturday, showers and thunderstorms and high near 79, and Saturday night is going to be around 66. Keep it here for more NPR news right here on WDIY.
Yeah, executive order, President Donald Trump today reversed his administration's policy of separating children from parents suspected of crossing